We are certainly thankful to the Almighty God for the opportunity to stand in the gap yet again. And we're thankful for each and every one of you for being here today. And just as I was outside in the foyer area, just observing everyone come in, and that was deliberate, it is a blessing to see so many young children. In Miami Gardens, we've been praying for this. It's a blessing to see so many young children. So to the parents, thank you that are here, that have brought young children with you. One of the things, and it's dark up there right now, but that light needs to be on every single Sunday. And I'm pointing up there to the nursery. It is time. And saints, we want to make sure that we have folks that are equipped and ready to take care of these youngsters, because that's where it starts. All four of the children that Chantel and I have were up there at one time under some capable hands. And so, saints of God, this is our duty. So thank you again to the parents. That light needs to be on next week. And when children come in here, parents need to have that aid, that assistance, that resource. And saints, are you up to the challenge? Amen. That's like four of you. Well, that's all we need is two at a time. So that's, we got 2 weeks worth of coverage. But we need to make sure we are ready to, because ignorance is not an excuse. Perfect segue. Ignorance is not an excuse. I'm jumping right in because we got a full day today. And as was mentioned in the prayer, our thoughts and prayers go out to the Hamilton and Dowdell families. Our thoughts and prayers go out to, and our deepest condolences to the Archie family. We'll funeralize Sister Archie today. We'll be with there to support the family because they have preachers in the family, so they will take care of the services. We'll be there to support this afternoon. Again, to our visitors, thank you for being with us. If you have your Bibles, please have them. Maybe you have it on your phone. That's all you should be doing on your phone. But let's go to work today. Acts chapter 17 and verse 30. It is something about the sun shines differently when it's football season. I don't know what it is, but there's just some energy in the air. And I get excited. I'm excited for every day because this is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. But there's something about this time of the year that just gets to me and makes me just feel so good. And I don't know if you can tell or not, but it's always a blessing to be in the house of the Lord. More any day. But there's something about right now. Acts chapter 17 and the verses 30. The Bible says, "And the times of this ignorance, God winked at," translate wink, "overlooked." Overlooked. "But now," and that's a key word, "but now, commandeth all men," that's all mankind, "everywhere," that means everywhere, "in every place, to repent." So again, the context of this scripture speaks to, you cannot say that I'm just ignorant. So if I'm ignorant, then I'm good, right? So I don't want to hear any preaching. So as long as I don't know, I'm good. Hold that thought. Put that on the shelf. Because ignorance, now sometimes people will say, and don't do this, you're just ignorant. I don't know if anyone here has ever said that as I look at the clock. You're just ignorant. Well, do you know what ignorant means? Ignorant doesn't mean someone's quote unquote dumb. Ignorant does not mean someone is, not smart. Ignorance is basically you don't have the knowledge. You don't have the information. It's more about, you just don't know. And so I should have really entitled this lesson, I thought about it, "If you don't know now, you know." I'll say that at the end of the lesson then. Ignorance in the Greek. Agnosia. Agnosia. So when agnostics, that word, a derivative, agnostic, people say, "I'm agnostic. I don't believe in anything." Okay. Agnosia really speaks to, again, not having, lacking the basic information. Why do we need to preach the gospel? Why do we need to stand? Because people can be biblically illiterate. And when we preach the gospel, that's our job. Once you've heard it, now it's on you. Legal terminology, burden of proof. And keep in mind, when you have a defense, and that's why the word apologia in the Greek speaks to, we need to have a spiritual defense. Oh, we have that. Let's go. That don't mean fight, but spiritual warfare. We are combating the devil. Amen, saints. I told you, we're in mid-season form right now. If you got a good defense, bring the offense on. Whatever the devil throws at us, we have what we need. Amen. Whatever the devil comes up with, we got what we need. Apologia, You know, you heard of the Apologetics Press, you know, a great company producing sound materials. But that apologia speaks to a defense. We need to be ready to give a defense to everyone that, an answer to everyone that asks it, the reason of the hope that is in you. So this, that defense is the word of God. But biblical literacy is toxic. It disrupts our homes. It can disrupt the community. And it certainly can disrupt the church. So let me just pause for a minute. Because right now, as I think about just being a husband and a father, things have changed quite quickly. You know, our children are 26, 24, 21, and 18. Last week we were in Louisiana. We surprised Brandon for his birthday. And as a typical 18-year-old, he was very surprised. Thanks for being here. But we're thankful to God we were there. Why do I say that? Because I'm hearing people say, well, you guys are getting close to being empty nesters. So as we grow, as we matriculate through life, in other words, as we go through different chapters in our lives, what chapter are you in right now? Some of you, as I look around this audience, some of you are just elementary kids going to school. Amen. We got some of the little kids. Some of you may be, you know, you're in high school, can't wait to graduate. That was Brandon last year. Then we got some of you that are in college. Amen. You're just trying to gain the necessary skills to get a job one day. Some of you graduated from college. I'm going to keep going now. I'm going to get to you in a minute. If you're 90, I just need a few minutes. So some of you are graduating from college, and you get married. And then you get married, then you have children. Then you have grandchildren. Some of you are retired. And so when people talk about what do you want to be when you grow up, you go, as we matriculate, we go through life. Then after you retire, then what's next? Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, the Bible records, and as it is appointed, Hebrews 9 verse 27, and as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. So as we go through life, no matter what stage you are in, you may be in a different chapter, a more significant chapter in your life than you've ever been before. That's where I am. And I'm thankful to God. To see our, we have all adults, so we don't have any more babies. Every time I drive by somebody dropping kids off at school, I just smile. I do it like a joker laugh. I'm so happy to be out of that stage. I mean, but I'm not, that's kind of notorious, but I'm just happy to be out of that stage. But ignorance, as a parent, you still have a role and responsibility. Now, some of us as parents, see, keep in mind, it's a different relationship with our children. And why do I talk about this with biblical literacy? Because as we grow and mature and develop as Christians, there's still some parents treating their kids like they're two. If they're adults, there's a reason God said, leave and cleave. Amen, walls and lights. When your kids grow, it is a parent's job. Give me Proverbs 22 and 6. I want Proverbs 22 and 6 audible. Proverbs 22 and 6, and give me Genesis chapter 2. Because I didn't get enough amen, so therefore, I will have to go a little deeper. De nada, that means you're welcome. Give me Genesis 2. Let's go to Genesis 2 first. Genesis chapter 2. I want to help some parents today because as your kids grow up, I want Genesis 2, give me 24 and 25. Gail, you read that one. And then Lenny, give me Proverbs, whoever has it, Proverbs 22 and 6 after that. Let's read the Bible. Genesis chapter 2, you all there? Genesis chapter 2, and keep in mind, as I scan this audience, we got some folks that have already set dates to get married. Good to see you kids here today. Amen. And it is a beautiful thing. We got husbands and wives here. So this is going to help you not only before you get married, it's going to help you after you get married as well. And here's the word for your notes, boundaries. Boundaries. There's got to be boundaries with leadership in the church. There's got to be boundaries when it comes to your family. If you don't set boundaries, we have to set boundaries as elders all the time. As if you're a leader, if you are a father, you need boundaries. Because everybody can't do everything they want to do. And this all goes back to the word of God. Very quickly, Genesis, give me Genesis 2, verse 23 and 24. 24 and 25. Read.
Therefore, come on. Shall a man leave his father and his mother,
read it all,
and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh.
Anytime I talk to somebody, I don't know how many here want to get married one day for all the single folks. Maybe that's the next chapter in your life. Oh, you need to read the scripture before you even say, "Would you marry me?" Read the scripture first. In all premarital counseling, I start here. Why? Genesis means the Hebrew word bereshit, which means beginning. So, therefore, shall a man leave his father and mother? Leave his father and mother. So, mama, daddy, I'm a grown man now. I'm about to start my household. Amen. Future husbands. Leave. I said that like my chest. I know I did. But that word leave is you are establishing your own. And the Bible says he will cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. What God, see, God is never, why do I go here with ignorance? See, God has never set anything up without specificity and instruction and boundaries. The same thing that holds true for marriage, the same thing holds true for the Lord's church. God didn't say it. You know, he said, whosoever will, let him come, but you're not going to come any way you want. See, the Father has set up the terms of entrance, the plan of salvation. So why would God set up a family and then let the church just be anything you want it to be? Let me just stay here for a minute, just very quickly on this housekeeping tip. When you think about leave and cleave, if you don't establish boundaries, some families are still suffering the consequences of not setting those boundaries. And moms and dads, as a parent of a soon-to-be-married child, our firstborn, and in the next few months, officiating a ceremony for Corey and Ashley, who are here with us today. I can't stress this enough. Those you love, those who raised you at that chapter of your life, they're used to telling you what to do. Get up and let's go do this. And sometimes parents forget, and they want to still talk like that, and you're a grown man, a grown woman. So their feedback, thank you very much, but we will take it from here. Get used to saying that as an adult. Once you decide to get married, thank you very much, but we'll take it from here. With a smile. Love you. Goodbye. Now you go run your household, and I'll run mine. Amen. I got to move on. I don't know if you all caught that. That is so important because that I see it in the church all the time through premarital counseling. And even folks who've already gotten married, they're talking about what mama wants, what daddy wants. No. You take on a new name. It's like with Christians, we take on a new name. So for all the parents, because I'm in that group now, who have grown children, continue to pray for them, that they can know the Lord, stay with the Lord. I'm in that group with you all now. And when they get married, may their household be rooted and grounded in the Word of God. But now, and so, and I don't know if y'all, I know it's going to be hard to believe, but I like telling people what to do. But I tell you what, when it comes to leave and cleave, I got to stay in my lane and let it run. And may every parent recognize that because that's straight Bible. And we always, don't put your 2 cents, but I'm going to put my 2 cents in. No, I didn't ask you. If I ask you, then you can give me some advice. But if I didn't ask you, just respect what's going on. Amen. Proverbs 22:6, what's a parent's job? So for those of you that aren't at that stage yet, but keep in mind, you make that investment and you'll see the return. That's a financial phrase, investment and return, investment and yield. When you plant the seed, and for all of you with these beautiful young children right now, you have a responsibility. We want to see these kids here, want to see them in the nursery, want to see them in Bible class, so they can grow up knowing the Lord. Proverbs 22:6, parents, you have a responsibility, so that way when they grow up and they do decide to get married, they do decide to start their career and all of that, you've made that investment. Proverbs 22:6, read.
Train up a child.
Bible says, again, biblical literacy will tear up your home. Make sure your home is leave and cleave, have boundaries in your home. And for let me stay there for a minute, Gail. Boundaries in your home. Parents, kids are not parents. I want to go. It's like, wait, I don't know who you think you're talking to. Because some of y'all, watch how your kids talk. I can tell how you raise them the way they talk to you. No. I'm in restaurants, and I got to catch myself. I'm reaching for my belt. That's not even my child. Please, there's got to be the respect. So boundaries. So the Bible says, train up a child how, Gail?
In the way he should go.
In the way he should go. This is Proverbs 22:6. Train up. That word train. You instruct. You guide. You discipline. You show. Imagine paying for a personal trainer. What do you want them to do? The lights on the nursery. I love it. Training. If you buy, you pay for a personal trainer. You want them to say, just do whatever you want to do. I'll be sitting right over here. Enjoy. And here's my cash app for you to pay me. You say, you're fired. Mm-hmm. A trainer is like, let's go. Let's go. You're pushed. So train up a child. Guide them. Direct them. Instruct them. Discipline them. Amen. If you were here months ago, we taught a lesson on discipleship. Disciple means student, not just a follower of Christ. We got to be trained and disciplined to do the work. Therefore, we can be victorious. Train up a child. Read.
In the way he should go.
In the way he should go.
And when he is old.
And when he is old, when he is mature, when he is grown up.
He will not depart from it.
That's your return on your investment, the ROI. That's the yield on what you put in that child. That's why we need to have these kids that are here. Saints of God, visiting friends, don't just bring them here. Come with them. I mean, don't just send them. You bring them. Put them in those necessary Bible classes so they can grow up and make the right decisions. Because ignorance has consequences. Let's go ahead and hasten on. Ignorance has consequences. From the very beginning, see, God has told us that when you think about the toxicity, the poison of ignorance, Hosea chapter 4 and the verses 1, when you think about it, ignorance has consequences. Read the Bible.
Hear the word of the Lord.
Hear the word of the Lord.
Ye children of Israel.
Ye children of Israel.
For the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land.
See, I love this. The Lord has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. In other words, you translate that, God's got a problem with you. I don't know if you've ever had someone had a problem with you. Oh, you invited me down. If you've ever had someone that says, I got a problem. What I love about mature Christians, if there's a problem, you talk about it. But imagine somebody coming to you saying, God's got a problem with you. See, God has a problem with denominationalism. God has a problem when there are no boundaries. God has a problem with biblical illiteracy. And so the Bible is Hosea, the prophet Hosea, children of Israel, God's got a controversy with you. Controversy by translation, there's a conflict. There's something that is not in alignment. God's got a problem with you. Read.
Because there is no truth.
Because there's no truth.
Nor mercy.
You're not. So first of all, there's no truth. There's no standard. Everybody's doing what they want to do. We like that, don't we? I want to do it my way. There's no truth. There's no mercy. Come on.
Nor knowledge of God in the land.
See, biblical illiteracy. There's no knowledge of God in the land. Now, what happens if there's no knowledge of God in the land? Stay in Hosea. Stay in chapter 4. Let's drop down to verse number 6. All scriptures will be on the screen for your convenience to help you follow through as well. Read.
My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge.
Hold your point. There's the consequence of not knowing. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Why do we may quote some scriptures? Why do we have the brothers reading scripture? Why do we encourage you to turn to scripture? Because we don't want you to take my word for it. Amen. Ask any preacher to do that. People getting up here and it's now just cute. People just putting on a show and tickling the ears of the hearers. We have to be biblically competent people. Know your Bible. Right. If you hear something that you may not understand, go to Scripture. Saints of God, we're going to say it in a congregational meeting. I'll put it on record right now. We as an eldership are talking to members of the Lord's church that have fallen away. And once you fall away, the word is apostasy. Oh, the devil's going to have stuff coming your way. We got folks telling us, I found this booklet I want to show you. A booklet you want to show me? Yeah. You want to show me a booklet? How about give me some scripture? Right. I saw a video. Well, I can go on Netflix and watch a video too. Mm-hmm. It's called artistic license. Saints, you need to know your Bible. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because
thou hast rejected knowledge.
You have rejected knowledge.
I will also reject thee.
I will also reject thee. God says, if you reject knowledge, I will reject you. I've given you the opportunity to know my will and my way. We have to be coachable is what this means. God's saying, can I teach you anything? You reject knowledge, I reject you. Read.
That thou shalt be no priest to
you
me.
You won't serve for me.
Seeing thou hast forgotten the law
You've
of thy God.
The law of thy God. Come on.
I will also forget thy children.
And there's a consequence even to your kids. Train up a child in the way he should go. Though he is old, he will not depart from it. Saints of God, we got to be careful how we act. Got to be mindful of what we do. Because there's something known as, I want you to write this down, because if you really pay attention to God's word, and you really understand, if you truly love humanity, there's a phrase I want you to, now you can look it up, it's a psychological term, passive-aggressive behavior. Passive-aggressive, I'll deal with it tonight, but I want you to write it down. Passive-aggressive behavior, it happens every day. Let me give you another one, manipulation for secondary gain. Manipulation for secondary gain. If you start studying this stuff and you know the Bible, you're gonna be a dangerous person. I don't mean dangerous meaning bad. People won't get over on you. They're gonna avoid you. They won't gossip. They won't come to you with gossip. So you're gonna use me as a pawn in your game trying to do something else. Manipulation for secondary gain. Passive aggressive behavior. I'm not gonna say it, but my behavior is gonna show something else. Passive aggressive behavior. And so when you're not ignorant of the devil's devices, there's saints of God who are passive aggressive. I'll move on. Ignorance is not bliss. What does that mean? What does it mean? It means this. If I don't know, then I don't have to worry about it. Right? If I don't know the plan of salvation, then God will mercy on me? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Ignorance is not bliss. If you think just because you don't know, you don't have to worry about it, wrong. So I want to congratulate everybody here. And please don't get up unless you got to go to the bathroom. You will hear God's plan of salvation. I've done my job. Prosecution and defense. A defense attorney, as I was alluded to earlier, didn't close a loop on that point. A defense attorney has to defend, but prosecution has to make sure they deliver a case, and all the defense has to do is the reasonable doubt. Reasonable doubt. If there's reasonable doubt, they can't prosecute. They can't find somebody guilty. But see, here's the thing. All of us are guilty as charged because of the standard of God. That's man's standard, reasonable doubt. You know what the devil wants to do? Create some reasonable doubt. Well, how can everybody be in one church, Brother Lopez? One physical building. Does that make sense to you? See, that's passive-aggressive behavior. I had someone tell me one time, she said, I'm a gypsy. I said, okay. Nice pearls. Nice jewelry. She said, but aren't you the ones who think there's only one church? That doesn't make sense economically. I said, well, you know what's interesting? If you think about justice and truth. And this was after I taught a Bible class at a local congregation. And there was people gathering around because she got a little loud. I just smiled because I saw the passive-aggressive behavior. I said, that doesn't make sense economically. I said, it's interesting because when we think about Romans, she says, I believe in the Bible, but it just doesn't make sense. I said, when all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that means everybody. So if everybody is a liability and God provides one asset, I said, that's quite interesting. She shook my hand and walked away. But I wanted to continue the discussion. If everybody has sinned and God provided the only asset that can balance the books, that doesn't make sense from an accounting standpoint to our accountants. Everybody has sinned, Romans 3 and verse 23. Y'all can say amen if you want to. And God provided the only asset, the only begotten Son of God, one, for the sins of the world. If you think just because you don't know it, everything's okay, you are sorely mistaken. The Bible says again, our lesson text, at times this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Ignorance is not an excuse. Let's hasten on. Ignorance is not an excuse. In the book of Amos, chapter 8, why am I taking you back to the Old Testament? Why am I taking you back to some of these prophets of old? Because I want you to see a pattern before we go to the New Testament. Ignorance is not an excuse. Brother Ferreras, Amos chapter 8, beginning at verse number 11. Listen.
Behold. The days come, saith the Lord God.
The days come, saith the Lord God.
That I will send a famine in the land.
So God said, I will send a famine in the land. Now, what's a famine by definition? There's no bread. There's nothing to eat. There's a famine. Your people are starving. But look what kind of famine would this be.
Not a famine of bread.
Not a famine of bread.
Nor a thirst for water.
Nor a thirst for water. Not the kind of famine you're thinking about. But
of hearing the words of the Lord.
Hold your point right there. Brothers and sisters, we live in a very, we think about the United States of America. Later on today, during our announcements, we're going to talk about what we're going to do for some saints of God in South America. Venezuela, to be exact. Lacking some basic resources. We are blessed to live in this nation, to have access to so many resources. Do you remember not long ago, a few years ago, when maybe some of you, because I certainly was, in line outside of a store to try to get some toilet paper and some other paper goods. Y'all remember that? How did you feel? You have to answer out loud. I was driving in my office one day near the airport, and every plane was grounded. I was with my son, Gail, and he said, this is like a scary movie or something. It didn't seem real. And yet, some of us act like it didn't happen. We just go about our merry way, wasting. Don't be wasteful. What's my point? God said, I will send a famine in the land, but not for bread, about bread and water, a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. Read.
And they shall wander from sea to sea.
People are going to wander from sea to sea.
And from the north even to the east.
From the north even to the east.
They shall run to and fro to seek.
They shall run to and fro.
To seek the word of the Lord.
To seek the word of the Lord.
And shall not find it.
And shall not find it. Did you ever think any time in your life you'd be just hoping and praying for just, whether it be hand sanitizer. And so the basic things we need. And people are fighting over. People are, buying it up in bulk and then selling it. Aren't we something else as human beings? Now you go to the store and you decide you get your soap and hand sanitizer, whatever you want. When we had it, maybe we didn't appreciate it as much. But when we couldn't find it, I remember being in line. I was with Lexi waiting in line at Target. They're like, only one per customer. People hiding it, bringing their cousin, bringing somebody else to live in their house. You get one, I get one. We all leave it three. Over paper towels and napkins, toilet paper. How much more for the word of God? God said, you won't, there's going to be a famine for the word of God. And then when you seek it, you won't have it. Saints of God, I want you to understand something. Without the word of God, we don't have any real guidance or direction. How are you going to live your life? For the parents that are here, you make sure your kids go to school every day so they can get their reading, writing, and arithmetic. Let's say they get a PhD. But what about their soul? Parents, what ultimately do you want your children to know? Do you want them to know about God? Do you want them to know the truth? Because the word of God, brethren, Psalms 119, division, I want verse 105 and verse 111. I'll put them both on the screen at one at a time. 105th verse. Read.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet.
Thy word. See, let us feast on God's word. Thank God there's no famine in terms of we have access to the word of God. The Bible says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet.
And a light unto my path.
A light unto my path. You go into a dark room and there's a lighted corridor, if you will. That gives you guidance on where you need to go. We live in a dark world and the word of God is that lamp unto our feet. It tells us where we need to go. Follow the lighted path. The lighted path is only one lit path that's going to take you to heaven. Amen. 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 I don't know if you ever had a situation where the lights went out and the emergency lights had to come on and you could not see your hand in front of your face. When it comes to the Word of God, that's why when we read this scripture, think about being in utter darkness. I don't want a booklet. I don't want a video. If I'm in utter darkness, I want the Word of God. Without the Word of God, there is no light. Mm-hmm. We don't have guidance or direction. I was recently on a few flights, and they say an event, you know, you got the oxygen mask, it may drop down in the event of a lack of cabin pressure. Look, the cabin pressure is an issue. What does it say? Do put your mask on first, and then help the one with you. If you got an elderly person or maybe a child. So for everyone here, everybody trying to save everybody else in their family, how about you being saved first? Follow the lit path. A lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. And so, what are we going to do with this? So, give me the 111th verse now, Gail. Psalms 119, verse 111. Read.
Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever.
Hold your point. Legacy is your word. Legacy. As I think about my older brother, as I think about, you know, we had the opportunity. We never met Richard Nelson the first. We met the second, our grandfather. Our daddy was the third. Rick is the fourth. I look out there and I see number five. Maybe there'll be a sixth one day. I'm just saying. I don't know. I got two. Maybe there'll be a third one day. I don't know. Legacy. Legacy. Look at what the Bible says. That testimony is your word. Have I taken? And to understand what the context of this. I take it as an heritage forever. There will be a legacy of the Word of God in my life and in my family. What is a legacy of your family? You have to understand, I've worked in youth and family development for almost three decades now. And some families have a legacy of just delinquency. A legacy of pain. A legacy of just drama and emotion. Is that your family legacy? Because everybody's got that dramatic family member. Maybe the person's here. Is that the legacy? A legacy of just pain and heartache. So the Bible says, your word I've taken as a heritage forever. And instead of pain, read.
For they are the rejoicing of my heart.
There's nothing greater than a family who knows the Word of God. Nothing greater. Amen, saints. Make that your family legacy. But you may be the first one on that flight, if you will, as you go to a higher elevation. Put on that mask. Put on Christ. And then help those around you. There are those here that I know that aren't members of the Lord's church. And I know you love God. I know you want to, you have a thirst. But maybe that thirst, maybe you're not thirsty enough. Maybe you're not hungry enough. Because Jesus says, those who hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. So some of you just wanted a snack with Jesus. You want an appetizer. You got to want the whole thing. And it's not enough. I'm going to visit here. I'm going to visit here. I'm going to visit here. You need to put your stakes in the ground. Recognize true biblical instruction. That's why we show you book, chapter, and verse. And say, I see it. Now compare it with what's going on in the world today. And speaking of that, let's compare. Two more points in this lesson will be yours. The effect of ignorance on the world. We're going to go to Romans chapter 10. Everybody still with me? Amen. I promise you, I got two slides left and this lesson will be yours. Y'all all right? Amen. Just say amen. That's all you need to say. That's good. Romans chapter 10. The effect of ignorance on the world. And I want you to, especially those that are outside the body of the church of Christ. God sent his son to die for you. He paid the ultimate price. So as you think about, imagine there are those today. I'm going to use a football illustration because I think it's appropriate. There's a 53-man active roster. There are those who are on the practice squad. They don't make it to the game. They just help prepare the team. What's your point, preacher? There are those who just would love to put on that uniform and suit up and get in the game. God wants you to be on his team. But people are like, that's okay. I'm going to go on my own little team over here. Well, guess what, folks? It's not authorized. I use the word unauthorized, bootleg. There's so much bootleg in religion today. For those of you who don't know, bootleg means unauthorized. Oh, that's cute. You act like y'all don't know what that means. It's funny. Romans 10, beginning of verse 1. Listen to the Bible.
Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved.
Paul's most earnest, heartfelt desire was that his brethren be saved. That should be our goal. That should be our desire for everybody in our family. Start at home, that they might be saved. Come on.
For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge.
So he just defined ignorance. The way Paul teaches, he will define it in the immediate context, the pretext, the mid-text, and then the following text. He will always define a term in context. That's what I love about like the way Paul teaches. Look at what he says. For I bear them record. What Paul is saying, let me put on record, Your Honor, let me put on the record that my brethren, who I want to be saved, are zealous. They love God. They have an energy and excitement for the Lord. But, and a lot of people fall into this category, but not according to knowledge. What's the definition? Agnosia, of not having knowledge? Ignorant. Next verse.
For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God.
There it is. Did y'all see it? Real time. Paul says, I want them to be saved, point number one. Point number two, they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. There may be people that you know in your family that you work with. They're like, I love the Lord. That's why I got this cross around my neck. Nothing wrong with wearing jewelry, but that doesn't make you a child of God. There's nothing wrong with people. Sometimes people have, you know, they got Bible on the dining room table. They got a Bible in the back of their car. They got this all just looking the part. It's not enough. Open the book. Some of you that are visiting with us today, and we are certainly thankful that you are here. You may visit places, and it's nothing but a show on stage. You may hear some scripture. But let me tell you something. The devil quoted scripture. And Jesus, knowing the word, had to come back with him. You should not tempt the Lord thy God. There's only three things that's going to draw us away. You may want to write them down, though. Lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. 1 John 2:15 through 17. There's your scriptural reference. 1 John 2:15 through 17. In the very beginning, God set some boundaries. God said, here you go, Adam. Everything you need. But the tree in the midst, don't touch that. Boundary. Provision. Instruction. Guidance. God laid it all out. And Adam? Man? Adam was a man. Amen? And God saw, Genesis 2, verse 18, that it was not good that the man should be alone. And God said, I, God, will make for him, not them, they, it. God said, I will make for him and help meet, H-E-L-P, meet, M-E-E-T. Meet means suitable and fitting companion. So God said this, I will make, not evolve. Then he could just grab the monkey and said, give him like 4 years and it's going to turn into a, no. Intelligent design. Our creator, God is our creator. We did not evolve. That's ignorant. That's foolishness. That's sinful talk. God said, I will make for him and help me from man's side, his rib. Not from the foot to be stepped on, not from the hand to be hit, not from the back to be inferior, but from his side, a suitable and fitting companion. God said, I will make for him and help me. And God took man's rib and made unto him one man. And that word by translation means taken from man. So if you're going to get married, back to the beginning of the lesson. You better be side by side by your husband. And the two of you need to have some boundaries in place. Boundaries in place. That woman takes on the name of that man. It was used to be Chantel Keels. Now she's Chantel Nelson. Leave father and mother and cleave unto her husband. And they too shall be one flesh. You can't do that. Please don't get married. I mean, I say this with all the love of my heart. If you can't, the Bible is clear. And so how does ignorance affect the world? For they've been ignorant, verse 3, for they've been ignorant of God's righteousness. Here's what happens. All right, and going about to establish their own righteousness and have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. People do what you like religion. It feels good to me. Even in the Lord's church, people have gone about to change up what God has clearly stated. Some of you like music. Nothing wrong with music. I play music in my car. I play music at home. We have music in the Lord's church. It's called a cappella singing. But people want to bring it in and liven it up so we can keep the kids. No, keep the kids by training them what the Bible says. Amen. I got to hasten. I got to finish. I'm at my time. Y'all all right? Thank you, Daryl. Our last point. Ignorance is affecting the world. Let me go back, engineers. Ignorance is affecting the world because people have not submitted themselves to God. But even in the Lord's church, we're going to have to develop this tonight. Hebrews 5 and verse 12. For in the time, ye ought to be teachers. Ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. We got children of God who should be mature and developed, acting like little kids. I'm talking about the church. You don't get what you want. We got houses split. We got wives wanting to be the husbands and husbands acting like I'm just here. Step up, man. I mean, you no harm. Look around the Lord's church. Around the country, I got to put this on record because I may not see some of you tonight at 6. Around the country, and you'll even look in Scripture. When you get women to influence, when men don't step up and lead as they should in the Lord's church, brothers, there's going to be some problems. Half the brothers scared to say amen, but that's all right. Thank God for sisters. Let me be clear. Thank God for your intelligence, your brilliance. But there are boundaries in the Lord's church. Throughout South Florida, there are women stepping up and getting in front of men, and men are just sitting there like, I'll be at that back door for any questions.
Yeah. Amen.
Maybe there's some sisters here who would like to stay in your lane. Amen. God gave everybody a role and responsibility. So how can you do big talk like that and not give me scripture? Thank you for asking. 1 Corinthians 11, Gail. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, give me verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 1. See, God never designed anything without specificity and instruction. It's like a game plan. You're going to run the play, and I got some of my former athletes here with me today. When you're going to run the play, I know what it should look like. And when you run the play like it's drawn up, it's a thing of beauty. I expect you to score. I expect the basket. I expect the ball to go in the hoop because you've run the play. I can see the floor, and we run the play. God is the creator of the world. God knows how man's going to act. He knows how the devil will seek to convince us or deceive us. But the Bible is still plain. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Think about this, because in the world in which we live, those are fighting words. But think about what the Bible clearly states. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1. Read.
Be ye followers of me.
Paul says, be ye followers of me. Imitators by translation. Be ye imitators of me.
Even as I also am of Christ.
Even as I also am of Christ. So Paul is saying, I'm following Christ. Tell me more, Paul. Read.
Now I praise you, brethren. That you remember me in all things.
That you remember me in all things.
And keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you.
And keep the ordinances as I have delivered them unto you.
But I would have you know.
Here we go. But I would have you know. What did Paul say? I pray that you're not ignorant of what God laid out. Keep the ordinances as they were given. Keep following God as he prescribes. That's what Paul says. Mm-hmm. I'm imitating Christ. I'm following Christ. Follow me because I'm following Christ. He didn't make it about himself.
Right.
He said, but this is our last verse. But I would have you know. I'm going to put the plan of salvation on the screen. Song leader, come on. I would have you know. Come on.
That the head of every man is Christ.
The head of every man is Christ.
And the head of the woman is the man.
The woman. Wait a minute. You got ahead of me. The head of, read it again.
But I would have you know.
I would have you know.
That the head of every man.
Head of every man.
Is Christ.
Is Christ.
And the head of the woman.
And the head of the woman.
Is the man.
Is the man.
And the head of Christ.
And the head of Christ.
Is God.
Is God. Christ submitted to his Father's will. We live in a world where everybody wants to do their own thing. But ignorance is not bliss. You now know. Everything that we read, that you heard from these brethren, thank you, brethren, and everything that you just heard from this pulpit, you got scripture for it. God created man. Kind. He is our creator. And we are born into this world physically. We must be born again. Because why do we need to be born again? Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. You're born again. How are you born again? You must hear and believe what Christ has done for our sins. Jesus says in John 8 and verse 24, except you believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Do you believe that today? That Christ is the Son of God? Do you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins? Do you believe that Jesus Christ shed his blood and purchased the church? We didn't come up with some cute name. Church of Christ. No, the church belongs to Christ. When Chantel said, I do, with a big old smile on her face, there was no question what her last name would be. Because she is now a part of me. As God designed her. And there's no hyphenated Christians. There's no Baptist Christians. There's no Lutheran Christians. There's no Presbyterian Christians. Acts 11 and 26 is just Christians. They were called Christians first in Antioch. You won't find any Lutherans in the Bible, any Presbyterians, Baptists. I don't mean any harm if you fall into any of those categories. But this simplicity of God's word, Christ, Christian means belonging to Christ. So except you believe that I mean, you shall die in your sins. We must repent of our sins. That was a lesson today. In the times of ignorance, God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. Once you've heard that Christ died, was buried, and rose again the third day, are you willing to repent, turn from your ways, and turn to God? Having repented of your sins, are you willing to confess Christ to be the Son of God? Matthew 10, 32 and 33, Christ said, paraphrasing, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father. That is my child. You deny me, I will deny you. I will never forget. Speaking of chapters in life, when I called, and it was Freed Hardeman College, Freed Hardeman University, and I said, I'm calling about Gail Nelson II. They said, excuse me, sir, but you don't have access to his account. I said, excuse me? They said, he's 18 years old, and he's an adult. I was like, I laughed. But every parent has to go through this. They said, without his permission, you can't access anything. I said, I want you to do me a favor. You call him. And tell him all those bills, he can have all of them. She laughed. She said, I get this every time. She said, you're a little bit more dramatic than most parents. I was like, okay. You tell him. I said, I'll get him on the phone. I said, Gail, do I have your permission to access your account? Absolutely, Dad. And you know, they know me. But what's your point? My point is, I said, if he was going to deny me that point, at that point, if he denied me, he would have had a whole lot of extra bills. If we deny God, we can't see sin will take you further than you want to go. Sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. And in the end, sin will cost us more than we can pay. So if we deny Christ, be ready to take care of the bill. We must be baptized. The water is ready. Baptism puts us into Christ. It washed away all of our sins. And I pray that you make the right decision today. Ignorant, you now know. And so now the burden of proof is on you. Will you be baptized today? Will you become a Christian today? We'll be here as long. We got to baptize 50 people. Amen, saints. Amen. We will be here as long as we need to be because we've done the job that God requires us to do. Teach the truth without addition or subtraction. You deny him, he will deny you. But today you have the opportunity. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? As we together stand, as we together sing, won't you come?